He told me that we think too small. Don't think so small, he says. So what was impossible yesterday is not impossible today. He's inviting us. He's inviting us to step forward into the impossible. Oh, I'm going to say that differently, sorry. He's inviting you to step forward into the impossible. The shackles of it seemed impossible that are around you, around your family, around your calling, around your physical body, around your finances. Those shackles around your emotions that seem to be impossible to break. You've chipped and pulled and yanked and tried every key and nothing seems to break them. The Lord is telling us today, He's speaking to you today, that come, step forward into the impossible, and those shackles will be smashed and broken off of you. Thank you, Father. Now, He's not pulling us forward. He's inviting us forward. There's a faith here that says, quit looking at you, yourself. And look at who He made you. You won't think so small then. You won't believe so small. You won't walk so small. You won't pray so small. Who you are is who He made you, not who your family made you, not who your past made you, who He made you. Do this with me, please. Just take a moment. And I want you to forgive yourself for your past right now. Go ahead, forgive yourself for those mistakes. For everything you think is holding you back, forgive yourself for those right now. Ask Him to forgive you if you haven't, but then forgive yourself. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, if you just take another moment and worship God, not from afar. He's right in front of you. He's not standing up here with me. He's standing right in front of you. He hears you. He knows you. He loves you. So take this moment. And as a child of God, love Him back. With the knowing that those things that used to be impossible are not impossible anymore. What is it that's speaking to you and saying, I won't change? What is that? Whatever that is, it's scared right now. It's lying to you. Because this place that you are stepping into is a place where impossible is normal. It's every day. So take a moment and just a moment from your heart. Worship the God of impossible and welcome yourself into the club of the family of the impossible. There's something about Him today. Trying to be careful how I word what I'm feeling here. He's not content with what was great yesterday. What was great last year is not great for Him today. It's old news. He is resisting what we're giving Him today. Forgive me if I say this wrong, but I'm trying to word it right. It's not enough. He believes in you. You don't have to believe in yourself. You just have to believe that He believes in you. I'm preaching to me a little bit here, so. Where He's taken us in our callings as a body cannot be done in your own strength anyway. Cannot be done in your own holiness and your own ability. Must be done by who you are in the Spirit. And who you are in the Spirit is who He made you. It's not made by hands. It's not made by man. It's made by Him. You know this, so now walk in it. You know this, so now walk in it. You know this, so now worship in it. You know this, now minister in this. You are mine. I made you. Your past didn't make you. Your mistakes didn't make you. Your good works didn't make you. I made you. Never be intimidated. Never be afraid. Where we're going, the enemy will try to intimidate you and make you feel unworthy of where you are. Stop it right now. Who would say that my child is unworthy? That my work is undone? Imperfect? Who would say that? Not me, says the Lord. Not me. I would never say that of you. Not in a billion years would I say that of you. Take hold of who I made you. Take hold of my love for you, my courage for you. There's bravery in you that comes from me. There's strength in you that comes from me. There's joy in you that comes from me. Grab it, live in it, walk in it, worship in it, minister in it, and you will see great things that you never thought were possible. Doesn't come from the air. Doesn't come from the anointing. These things are in you. They're who you are. Be careful. What was glorious yesterday and last year, it's not acceptable for me this year. I know you could do more. I know you can. What's impossible in you today? What is it? Is it your body? Don't accept it anymore. Your finances, don't accept it anymore. Let's take another moment. Just worship Him. The family of the impossible. Worshiping the God of the impossible. Thank you, Lord. Say this with me. Say, I am part of the family of the impossible. It's in my name. That's who I am. My father, he's the inventor of the impossible. And I'm part of his family. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a big shout if you want. Thank you, Father. You may be seated. I'm searching my heart right now for what He wants to share, and I keep going to the same place of we need to stop thinking small. And I think it's in our natural man's DNA to think small. You know, it's hard to believe who we become when we became born again. Religion has spent a lot of time and a lot of work, or the enemy has used religion to train us to believe for what we see and not what he says. If you've heard me preach before, you know I like to preach about the body. I like to preach about how we all have a place. We all have a purpose in God. The moment you're born again, you're called. I know when we say to someone, you're called, really what we're saying is you're called to the fivefold ministry. But the fivefold ministry is not more important than the other threefold. It's just different. It's just different. When I was born again, it used to all be a mystery to me. Everything was a mystery. In fact, I remember sitting with Pastor Dave talking to him a few years ago, but not too many years ago. We were having coffee, and I'd already listened to the Born Again Trail. I preached some of it and practiced praying in tongues for years and been a full-time ministry for many years. And he was just telling me a story, and all of a sudden I saw it. And I looked at him and said, what? I have a nature inside of me? And he looked at me, you know, like, you don't know this? How long you been with me and you don't know this? But I saw it. I finally saw it. Born again used to be a term to me. It used to be what I did. We have so many terms that we use. But when it becomes us, who we are, when it becomes you, who you are, you don't need theology or a preacher to tell you. You don't need a preacher to get it from. You get it from him. You walk in it every day. You can walk in peace, joy, love, gentleness, kindness. It's who you are. It's not what you try to be, it's who you are. And everything seemed to be a mystery to me. When I first got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I went to a church. I got saved when I was probably 13, I think. My stepdad was in prison. My mom and I went to a church. And I remember the preacher there. All I remember about him was he tricked me. He said, now, everyone close your eyes and bow your heads. And I'm not going to embarrass you. If you've never accepted Jesus and you want to today, hold your hand up. And I put my little 13-year-old hand up, and I slipped it down. They said, amen. You can open your eyes. Now, for those of you who put your hand up, why don't you come up here right now? And I sat in my seat, like, maybe you didn't see my hand. I said, come on up here right now. I saw your hand. Come up here. And he tortured me, but I went up and I thanked God for it, because I remember kneeling down and feeling something change. I actually felt something change. This is in Fort St. John, British Columbia, up on the Alaska Highway. Some BC friends here. Hallelujah. Pentecostal Assembly of God Church. And the youth, I remember being part of their youth group a little bit, and we went down to a conference, and they had us all line up. I was probably 13 or 14, and we were just sitting praying, you know, taking some time away. They said, I want you just to get quiet before the conference starts. And I remember kneeling by the chair, and I remember my tongue starting to swell up. Now I know it was the Lord helping me to pray in tongues. But then I was so afraid, I was begging God to stop it. Please stop it, God, stop it. What is this? And I resisted it because I didn't know. No one taught us about it. No one really instructed us about any of that. So it was 5 years later. I was 18. And the church I started to go to when I was 18 was a good-sized church in Lethbridge, Alberta. And they had a, during worship, they would sing in tongues as a church. So the whole church was singing in tongues for a few minutes, and it was really beautiful. I really liked it, and I wanted to do that so bad, but I wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost. And sometimes I'd even just fake it, you know. And then a preacher came, and he said, "Now, how many here do not pray in tongues and would like to? I want you to come up to the prayer line here." So I ran up there, and he had a large group of people lined up. It was really special, and he lined us up and led us through the prayer, and he came down, and he was praying for people. And he got to me, and he said, "Now, do you have it?" Well, my response was, "I don't know. How does it work?" Because when he prayed for us, I just stuck my tongue out, and I was waiting for God to come flap it. Because I didn't know. Some of you are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. And I had my tongue out, and I was waiting. And he came up to me and said, "Now, do you have it? Do you have it? Are you praying in tongues?" And I said, "I don't know. How does it work?" But the problem was, I had a cold. And then my nasal passage is all stuffed up, so it came out mumbly. And he said, "Oh, you got it. You got it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah." And he moved on. And I was 18 and very shy. So I just left it. And for 6 months, I prayed, "God, please, let me pray in tongues. Let me pray in tongues." And then another preacher came in. 6 months later, he was a little bit tougher than the last one. He said, "Now, if you don't pray in tongues, stand up right now." Well, I was embarrassed, but I didn't pray in tongues, so I stood up. He didn't ask us if he wanted to. He said, "If you don't." So I stood up, and he said, "Everyone around them, lay hands on them." And I was just so embarrassed that I just pretended to pray in tongues. So shabba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. They all said, "Oh, he got it, he got it." And they left me alone. It's amazing. I'm so glad I'm not 18 anymore. I love you. I'm so glad. Well, I went home that night, and I remember it was soon after that. I was so frustrated. I said, "God, your word says that if I ask for a fish, you won't give me a serpent. If I ask for bread, you won't give me a stone. And how much more will you give me the Holy Spirit when I ask for it?" So here's what I said. I said, "I'm going to start praying in tongues. And if it's real, you just make it real." And that's how I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I can tell you something. There's many people I run into who have a hard time praying in tongues. They've been in prayer lines. They've been... maybe they're embarrassed or they're just... But I found the ones who are thinkers, who do a lot of thinking, have a hard time finding that language. You know, the moment you ask to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. You don't have to keep asking. And what I've told them, and maybe if you were here and you have a problem finding it, I'd just tell them, I said, "Look, I had the same problem." I said, "The moment you ask to be baptized in the Holy Ghost comes and lives inside of you, and he makes a river of words from your spirit. And that river of those words are coming up." And I said, "They're not coming from your natural brain, they're coming from your spiritual mind." So that river of words is coming up, and your job is to do one thing, find it. Just find it. I said, "Here's my advice. Go get by yourself." I had a man last week when I was preaching in Michigan. So I've been trying for 30 years to pray in tongues. I can't pray in tongues. Been in every prayer line. I said, "Your problem is you think too much." I said, "Go over there and just practice the word that says if you ask your Father, he'll give it to you." He came back 5 minutes later praying in tongues. Because it's there. See, sometimes we think this walk is very mystical, spiritual. Praying in tongues is not spiritual. When I say spiritual, I mean, it's not like a move. If, you know, after you pray your first hour, You find out it's a very natural process of praying in tongues. You pray those words because you're praying the perfect will of God, and they're changing you from the inside out. I remember when I was in grade 9, I had a class on automotives. I wasn't taught as a young guy how to build anything much or fix things, but I enjoyed cars, motorcycles. You know, we lived kind of on a farm, so we got to drive the truck a little bit. So in this class, it was on automotives, and I remember they taught us, we took the wheel off the car, and we had to take the brakes off and put them back on. Now, some of my friends are laughing at me. They had no idea I've ever touched a brake before, but we did put a little white sheet out and put all the pieces and the springs and all that and laid it out so we knew how to put it back on. And then they taught us about how the engine works. That the engine has pistons and valves, and gasoline actually goes into there. And there's a little spark plug that lights a little spark, and the gasoline explodes and pushes the piston. Now, you may know that, but in grade 9, I didn't know that. I remember it because I still remember that moment because it dawned on me that cars were practical. There's actually mechanics behind it. It wasn't mystical, like, wow, you just drive a car and it drives. Now, some of you may not, I may just give you a revelation today, like I got. What? But there's mechanics behind it. There's purpose behind everything. It's not mystical. Walking with God is not supposed to be mystical to us. It's not supposed to be ungrabbable, you know, and it's supposed to be who I am. It's what I do. It's how I live. I see too many people praying for things, and it's like they're just throwing it out into mystical faith land, hoping that one day something will come back. Am I preaching okay? They're holding on to a hope that God's word is truth. They heard a preacher say it. They've heard promises preached. If I confess, then I'll be healed. If I believe, then it's going to change. But yet, I've watched too many people spend their whole life and it not work. I'm kind of a meat and potato guy. I don't want to preach stuff that doesn't work. That's why I love the message here. Pastor Dave came and taught. I was 23 years old, I think, 22. And he said, if you pray in tongues a lot, it'll change you. Well, I tried everything else. I tried discipline, and that lasted about 10 minutes. I tried authority. The devil would come running in, tempt me, test me, and I'd say, get out of here in Jesus' name. And he'd go, he'd run off. I'd open up the door, and there he was again. What are you doing here? Get out of here in Jesus' name. I have authority over you. You run off. I'd open up the door. There he was again. Get out of here forever in Jesus' name. I cast you in the depths of hell. Go in Jesus' name. There was something in me that wanted what he had. That's why it's tempting. So authority didn't work very long. I tried the altar where I come up for prayer. Man of God would pray for me. I felt the power of God. I felt free. Sometimes a week, sometimes 2 weeks, 3 weeks. He'd come back. Why? Because there was something in me that wanted what he had. Well, I'm going to rephrase that. There's something in my flesh that wanted what he had. Because for you to be tempted, it means there's something in you that wants it. You know, that's why you're tempted. I used to be impressed with the power of God. I used to be impressed with prophesying. People read your mail. That's nice they read your mail, but what's the reason for it? I used to be impressed with those things. I'm not discrediting those things, but I've watched too many of us preachers run with those things and then fail. This introduced me to something different. A hope that I can walk out of everything my flesh tries to bind me to. I can have as much of God as I want. There's no limits. It's up to me. It's not mystical. It's not lucky. All right, look under your seat. There's five special numbers of people who are going to be ordained tonight to walk in the power. Now just look under your seat. Who's got number 35? Yes, he picked me. Yes. I don't know why. He just did. Hallelujah. It's not supposed to be mystical. It's not supposed to be unknown. He'll walk you step by step into everything he has for you and out of everything the world put on you. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll just start in verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. How many have heard this before? Pastor, I've got sickness in my body. Well, believe God, sister. Walk by faith, not by sight. Oh, hallelujah. That's so good to know. But what does that mean? Put up with it until it disappears? Or can you put some action into something. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Well, let's see what that really means. Go back to chapter 4, verse 7. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. The Apostle Paul is saying that as death works in me, life works in you. The more we put to death our flesh and crucify it, the more that treasure can shine outside of that earthen vessel. Now, it's important that we understand this. Ministry is not for the ministers, the preachers. Ministry is for the body. The whole body. The entire body. You are a minister of God. You might be in the making. He may have done to you what he did to me and many others, which is said, you got too much in you, in your flesh, that we need to set you aside a little bit so that we can remove those things. Victory in your flesh is not lack of temptation. It's overcoming it. If I went out and got followed little Betsy the cow around with a scoop shovel, you know what a scoop shovel is, some of you farmers? Big wide shovel. I waited till old Betsy the cow did her thing, and I scooped up a cow pie. A fresh one. Still steaming a little bit. Little pieces of straw sticking out here and there. Couple flies buzzing around. And I brought it in here today and I put it on a plate. And I took some whipped cream and a little cherry, one of those little white plastic spoons. And I came in today and I said, who would like a piece of fresh cow pie? It's free. It's fresh. No one's interested. Why not? Because there's nothing in you that wants it. You're not tempted by it. You don't like it? How do you know? Have you tried it? Comes from a cow, but so does ice cream. And I came over here. Anybody want some? And all of a sudden, Joe jumps up, grabs my arm, says, cow pie, my favorite. And we're watching Joe dig into this cow pie. And all of us are looking at him thinking, something wrong with that boy. See, when you're young, you're innocent, you have curiosity about things. But it's just a curiosity. What would it be like to do this? What would it be like to do that? Depends on your upbringing. But when you participate or partake of something, maybe because you chose to, or maybe because it was put onto you, but that sin becomes, instead of a curiosity, it becomes a craving. Your flesh craves it. See, remember when you got born again, some of the stuff that didn't leave? I have people I know who I watch them eat cow pies all the time. And I wonder what's wrong with them. I have close people who've given up their homes for drugs. Well, why don't you just stop? Can't you see what it's doing to you? Look at your children. Look, you lost your house. You took your mortgage money and bought this. What's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? It's just stop. But see, to them, it's not a cow pie. It's a hot fudge sundae. Because their flesh craves it. And you say, you need to be free. You need to stop. You need to love more. You need to do this more. But it's not in them. And so we don't judge other people's cow pies. Because we all have our own. The devil will come and knock on your door. He'll say, I brought you something. It's a hot fudge sundae. Or a banana split, or whatever your favorite ice cream is. You say, no, no, I resist you. Go from me. Ah, he runs. Then he comes back. He comes back and finds you when you're tired, when you're lonely, sometimes right after your greatest victory. You let your guard down and he comes back. Oh, I'm preaching good. You can take a tip. And you find yourself struggling with this area of your flesh again and again until one day it can seem impossible that I can't get past this. Pray for a young man who comes up. He's on drugs, maybe. You pray for him and you watch him get delivered. He's set free. He's celebrating. He rejoices. He lifts his hands. He's excited. First one in the church. Last one to leave. He's dancing in the altar. Like, man, that young man got free. Hallelujah. Then 3 weeks later, he disappears. So where'd he go? God, I thought you said, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Then what happened to him? Well, I know what happened. The enemy came back after 3 weeks. Waited till he was tired, lonely, depressed. Someone heard him, did something, knocked on his door. See, those areas that you struggle with, they're not you. They're in your flesh. You are set free from everything. You have power over everything the moment you're saved. That's good preaching right there. But the mechanics of it, or you're straddled with this flesh that you have to put to death. And that doesn't come just from a prayer line. It doesn't come from begging God to set you free. I'm a greasy grace guy. Sometimes I preach at places they call me legalistic, and other places they call me greasy. Depends where I'm preaching. But I struggle with some of the message of grace that says, you know what? He loves you. Just receive it. Walk out of it. Well, take someone who's really fighting something and tell them that. And you just cost them 20 years of their life. You can walk out of anything. There's tools that God has given us. They're tools of faith that say, even though I feel like this, I look like this, I don't accept this. You know how many of the church comes to church and the reason they don't believe God is a God of miracles is because they hide who they are in front of Him. And they come to church and they're hiding the real issues. They know, look, yes, you know, it's funny. You look over there and say, look at that guy. He's got it so much together. Look at him. I bet his home is just peaceful and quiet. His wife must be the sweetest thing. Look over there, that guy, he's blessed. I bet his wallet's just fat right now. And the same guy's looking over at you. So look at that guy, I bet they flew here first class. Look at them, I bet they got their life together. That's how it really is. It's amazing what goes on in your brain. The devil likes to make you think you're alone. You're the only one. And he'll never use you. That's what he wants you to think. The flesh, it's not you anymore. It's your job to get rid of it, to mortify it. You know, people come all the time and say, preacher, I need you to pray for me. Cast this out of me. Say, well, I'm good at casting out devils. We'd grab you by the ears and throw you down the ground. If you're in a prayer line and you just twitch the wrong way, we'd take you down. Come out in Jesus' name. You know. You heard about the little boy they cast the devil out of? Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, I said, get out of him in Jesus' name. What's your name? What's your name? Johnny. My name's Johnny. You can cast out devils, but you can't cast out flesh. Flesh must be mortified. I have enough time enough work mortifying mine. I don't have time to mortify yours. When you think small, it's because you're looking at your flesh. You're thinking that God blesses you or doesn't bless you because of your flesh. You're not your flesh. Stop saying that. Stop saying, I am a cowpine loving. Say, my flesh loves cow pie, but I don't. It's your struggle, but it's not you. He didn't make you to struggle. He made you perfect and strong. Your flesh is the one that desires those things. For we walk by faith and not by sight. What is he talking about? Verse 16 of chapter 4 says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is, pardon me? Now, you should be trained by now. The outward man is perishing. Sorry, I'm New King James. I know we have different translations in here. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, the picture that he's painting here is that you have an outward man and an inward man. And the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, stop. Let's read that again. For while we do not look at things which are seen. Now, he's not talking. We can preach it however you want, but really here he's talking about your flesh. While we do not look at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. What is not seen? The inward man. The real you. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, look at your flesh right now, look at your body. This flesh is called a tent. It's an earthly house. Is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. That's our new body. Indeed, having been clothed, we shall be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened. Now stop right there. I want you to look at me. This is not a regular church service. And what I mean by that is there are messages that you preach to regular folk who are never really going to want to change the world. They just want to survive and make it to heaven. And God loves them and you're supposed to preach to them too. But you're not regular folk. You want to change the world, don't you? There's a message in here for you that's telling you to quit looking at your flesh, even the good or the bad. Quit looking at your flesh and start listening to God. Quit looking at your flesh as who you are and start listening to God and believing who He says you are. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life, that he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee, so we are always confident knowing that we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Where are you not supposed to look? We walk by faith. Faith in what? Faith in God up in heaven? A million miles away? Billion? I don't know where heaven is. How far is it away? Walk by faith. Harrison asked me one time, he said, "God, Daddy, is God in heaven?" I said, "Well, he is, but he's not only in heaven. He's everywhere. He's here right now. Here. Right now in my room." I said, "Yes." We walk by faith. Who are you really? Who are you really? The invisible. That's who you are. Not this. Walk in it. I struggle with looking at this, my flesh, every day. The insecurities, the weaknesses, the imperfections, the struggles of my past. I walk by faith means I don't let that tell me what God can do through me today. I don't let my struggles, my past, tell me who I am today. See, I can preach this here. Because there's been too many people heard it too early. They heard it when they were starting out. Let God use you. Walk in power. Go and win the world. Go ye into all the world. Go. Go, go. We ran out scattering all over the place. Some evangelists got hold of us. So what are you doing in church? Getting fat on the word is what you're doing. Get out there. People are dying, going. Some evangelist God is chasing around, winning the world. And then our flesh kept stumbling, causing us to fail. I'm not preaching this from a place of perfection. I'm preaching this to you from a place of faith. And so we ran out and walked and prayed for people and saw a miracle. I was 18 when I saw my first miracle. Prayed for a deaf boy, got healed. I don't know how it worked, I just did it. Someone said, go do it. The power of God can come. But God arrested me when Pastor Dave came and said, if you pray in tongues a lot, it'll change you. Because I was wandering around following instructions. Go. Win the world. Touch the world. I started praying in tongues and it slowed me down. Because he won't sacrifice you to go get someone else. It's impossible. The message today will be something like, don't wait till you're perfect to go do something. That's for us. The devil comes, knocks on the door. I resisted him. I rebuked him. Tried authority on him. Tried discipline on him. Tried the anointing on him. Anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. I found out it doesn't destroy the bondage. Just the yoke of bondage. Mr. Bondage kept coming back with another yoke. Praying in tongues. Fasting. Worship. Devil comes back. One day though, he comes back and knocks on the door. And you open up and you're ready to fight him. You're ready to resist him. He says, here, I got you something. And you look at it, and it's no longer a hot fudge sundae. Because the thing in you that wants what he has been removed and mortified out of your flesh. Do you understand the power of that? You can change who you are. You can change who your flesh says you are. The devil comes back and there it is. And you're ready to fight him, resist him, rebuke him. And he says, hey, I got something for you. Like a cow pie. I don't want a cow pie. There's nothing in me that wants it. Let's keep reading just a little bit. Chapter 5, verse 1. For if we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee, so we are also confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You and I His desire, from what we've heard this week, is to pull us forward in the body. To move us forward, or to call us forward. And there is a step that you and I have to take with that. Sister, can you come here with me? He wants to call you forward. But you have to walk with him. Step with him. And I'm going to tell you what the devil is trying to tell us. Not you. You're not ready. Look at your flesh. You're not ready yet. Now, if you're a young guy and you come to me and say, Minister, will you teach me how to be a preacher? I want to do a couple things to you. I'm going to give you a set of keys, and I'm going to give you a broom. And I'll say, this is me. Here's the keys to your prayer closet. You're going to spend a lot of time in there. And here's a broom to go surf. What? Surf how? Well, it's a broom. It's made to be sweeping. Usually there's dirt on the floor somewhere. And go find the dirt and sweep it into a pan and go put it in the trash. Oh, but I'm called to preach. Yeah, but you're young. You don't know much. Too much flesh. So, if God's not going to promote you to serve in your preaching, then go serve somewhere else until he promotes you to that. Go sweep a little bit. Keys, broom. Because you can hurt someone with a microphone. But you can't hurt someone with the broom. One young guy called me and said, I got to work late tonight. You think it's okay if I skip church in the morning? You know, now this is, if you don't attend a church, we don't badger you here. But this is a good church here. You know, they take the time to put on the lights, to put air conditioning on, and young guy says, I got to work till 3. You think it's okay if I just skip church? I'm thinking, no. I said, well, do you work at Sunday night? No. No. I said, oh, okay. Well, what's going to happen one day when you want to preach and the plane gets late and you say, Pastor, I know I'm booked to preach, But I can't be there because I'm tired. I can go on, but I need to stop before I get in trouble. The pastors are like, yeah, get him, get him. Feed those sheep. I had one girl call me when I was youth pastor. We had a leadership program, and you had to be in church. You had to sit on the front two rows. And she said, I need to miss church tonight because I have to study for my final exam. It's really big. I need to study. And I said, okay. I said, no problem. I understand that. Well, after church, we went out to eat, and there she was with her boyfriend having dinner. I said, what are you doing? You said you had to study. Oh, I did. I studied during service. So she selectively chose what to sacrifice, you know. So when someone says, I need to be late for church, I'm late for church. You know, when you're sweeping a broom, the broom doesn't care if you're late. But if you're called to preach, the praise and worship's on, our guest speaker is coming. Where is he? I guess he's late. If you're called, then you're called to lay your life down. I need to say that a different way. You are called. And God's asking you to lay your life down. You may not be called to preach. You may be called to do many things. But you can't do without laying your life down. You cannot serve God and go around the crucifying of your flesh. That's why the grace message that's being preached that isn't proper is taking the crucifixion, the crucifying, the mortifying out of your life, saying, go serve God without mortifying your flesh. But I'm not preaching that today. I'm preaching to you. This body, he's pulling forward. I know for some of you, he may have different instructions, but overall, you will look at your flesh in the mirror and see all kinds of imperfections and struggles and weaknesses. But you don't have to stop because of those. He's moving you forward in spite of those. You can still pray for people. You can still walk in your calling. When God tells you to, that's when you need to. Stop thinking small. When you look at your flesh, you think small. When you look at the past history of your prayer requests and your believing, you're going to think small. I've been believing for this. I've been trying for this. We are stepping into the impossible. He is asking us to step forward into the possible. And it's not a mystical sprinkling of something. It's not a, wow, floating on clouds. I love those times. But in any family, you don't live on those times. You appreciate those times. My wife loves if I take her out. Flowers and dress up. But that's only good once in a while. If I'm not paying the bills, if I'm not being a husband, not being responsible for what I'm supposed to be responsible for, and I try to bring her flowers, I got some flowers for you, baby. Did you use the mortgage money to get those flowers? Where's the mortgage money? Can I tell you what I'm really feeling? Too many people are waiting for the wrong move of God instead of trusting him and walking into the move that he wants. Because to walk with him, he's putting responsibility on us that we can't go back. And he's asking you right now, please, step with me out of the small and into the impossible. Sometimes it can seem very unspiritual, but it's not. The things of God are not mystical. He tells us. I'll read to you real quick. 1 Corinthians. See, as a minister, I can tell. I'm blessed I get to travel to different places. Every group is different. Every church has got its strengths and its weaknesses. And sometimes people want you to give them what they want. And sometimes people want God to give them what they think they want. But sometimes God doesn't want to give you what you think you want. And I'm feeling that God is asking us to go beyond what we know and to trust Him to walk into this new place. Where every day you wake up in authority, every day you wake up in power. 1 Corinthians. I'll just read this quick. Chapter 2. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now we know that now to be what? Our inward man. Our born-again nature. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except of the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. I'm closing my Bible. There's no mysteries with God. He'll tell you everything. You and I are fighting a wave of religion that is trying to overtake this country. And with it comes thoughts and attacks of the enemy to try to belittle you and what you have. You ever get around somebody who comes to you and says something to you, and they walk away and you feel less spiritual than they do? That's the devil. Do you ever have that happen to you? Do you ever go in a service and watch things happen all around you and you're wondering, something wrong with me? Because I'm not feeling it. There's no one on this earth more spiritual than you. You're His child. Can't get more spiritual than that. Experiences. I'm trying to change my language. Because sometimes as preachers, it's our fault. Say, I heard God say. You know, we say that naturally, but how many times have we actually heard God's voice? I used to sit there and look at preachers and think, wow, he can audibly hear God right now. Preachers don't get to hear God more than anyone else. He speaks to our heart. There is a wave. See, now I'm starting to understand why I'm preaching all this. There is a wave of attack the enemy has poured out on us to make you feel not spiritual enough. And it's trying to drive you, us, to pursue something, an old way, to pursue an old move of God. And God is wanting us to not go that direction, but to step another direction. It doesn't seem as spiritual. It doesn't seem as magical or as powerful, but it is. Because the power of God and the authority of God is now, or the authority of God is not coming from the atmosphere or from heaven or open heavens. It's coming from you. You're the authority. And it's no longer the services or the buildings that he's after. He's after his children walking around, stomping around, walking in authority. Whether they feel worthy or not, whether they feel like they're deserved or not, they walk in it because they walk by faith and not by sight. And this is you. This is you. That you go to bed at night, a child of God. You wake up in the morning, a child of God. And whether you feel anointed or feel blessed or not, it doesn't matter because you are. It's in you. You walk, it oozes out of you. When he says, worship me, don't wait for him to lift you. Don't wait for your flesh to say, okay, I'll let you worship now. Just do it. When he says you're healed, walk in it. The impossible, that's who you are. You are born in the family of the impossible. In the bookstore, we're selling t-shirts. The big eye. The superhero. Welcome to the family of the impossible. But I don't feel impossible. Then you should walk by and not by. But you know, I struggle with this area. And God says, you keep telling me we're supposed to walk in power. Yeah, you should walk by and not by. But I go to worship God and I feel like a dog. Yeah, and you should walk by and not by. Who am I to preach? Who am I to sing? Who am I to tell someone about Jesus? You should start walking by sight. Start walking by because of who he made you. That's what he's saying. Walk in who he made you. Not in who you struggle with. It's who he made you. You're the one to lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. Your desk, that's your pulpit at work. I just we keep waiting for God to call me into full-time ministry. Well, why would he do that? When he's got you there already? He's not allowing us in this conference to accept last year as being great. You are his child. You have all the authority of the impossible in you already. I'm excited to see the miracles that's going to start showing up. Instead of having a prayer line, the green line is now officially the testimony line. Say, who has a testimony? Yeah, I was out eating dinner and this guy walked by me limping and I wanted to pray for him, but someone said, don't. But I decided to walk by faith and not by sight. I didn't listen to the don't, I listened to the do. And he got healed. We need a testimony line of people giving testimonies of how God's using you. At your workplace, at your school place, wherever you are. You're not there by accident. Don't try to get out of some place God put you. Because you feel you're not good enough unless you're doing something. I got a call from my sister who had their first grandbaby. And they had stuck that little baby into a helicopter. Because it wasn't breathing right. And flew it 2.5 hour drive from where, 3 hour drive from where they were. And they wouldn't let the parents go with her. Took this little baby, stuck her in a helicopter, and flew her to Calgary, Alberta, under duress to the children's hospital. She was born in a hospital, but they flew her to the children's hospital. And I got a call from my sister, please pray. They were in the car driving the 2.5 hours, 3 hours to get there. We prayed. And when they got there, they just got to pick up the baby and drive it home. But see, that's a nice testimony. And you have testimonies. How many have a testimony? Look at you. Of course you do. Because you're anointed. You're called to shake the world. It doesn't have to be a spiritual feeling. It's okay. Those are great. But in here, when I have coffee with someone or talk to someone, I have to have a connection with someone. I had coffee with one guy. I spent an hour and a half talking, and we left, and I didn't feel connected. To me, that was a complete waste of time. Just talked about stuff. It was nice stuff, but I didn't feel connected. So much of the worship that we've had in around America that's been accepted is worship without intimacy, worship without connection. Some of you I haven't seen forever, and I just say hi to you, and I feel bad because I feel so connected, I don't feel like I need to say hi. He's after more of you. That's what he's after. And I say you, I mean us. There's a depth of relationship that he is after with us that requires us to step into it. I'll say it this way. And I never realized this. I'm just realizing this. He's asking us to break through a cloud of religion that has swallowed up our churches around the world and has sat there for many, many years and has become, if we get to this, we have achieved where we're supposed to be. And God's asking us to break through that to show that's not Him. It may be good, but it's not perfect. If you're feeling resistance in your life, it's because he's asking you as a family, as a body, to set a new example of what revival is. A new example of what being a child of God is. Why don't you stand with me? Thank you, Father. Just say this with me. Say, Father, I'm yours. I belong to you. My life is in your hands. I no longer have a life where I can do what I want. I'm yours. I'm a worshiper. I'm a servant. I'm a son. I'm a child. I'm a minister. I'm part of the family of the impossible. And this morning, I accept that role. That's who I am. I am your family. And I will walk by faith. And I will not walk by sight. The old me, the old flesh, is not who I am. I'm going to keep crucifying it while I walk as your child in the fullness of all you have for me. I thank you for it. Thank you for loving me so much. Now I'm just going to ask you to take another moment. And just let him speak to you. Because when God says things, he always gives us a step, like a practical step to do it. So just in this quietness, just take a moment and see if he will share with you something that he's asking you to do that requires faith in who he made you. Might be to share Jesus with someone. Might be to forgive someone. Might be to give something. Father, we love you. This morning we accept our role as ministers. And we're ready when you tell us we're ready. We no longer accept our past, our struggles, or our flesh as who we are. It cannot limit us anymore. We thank you that you are giving us instructions every day. And we cannot disobey because we don't think we're ready. We will obey because we will walk by faith and not by sight. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Say this with me. Say, I am ready.
To
do what God says to do. If the devil says I'm not ready, I'll tell him that I walk by faith and not by sight. You are ready. Don't be timid.